Not open your Bibles, Proverbs chapter number 3 tonight. You know, this morning we dealt with some vows and looking at vows and making vows. Tonight, I want to deal, I usually don't do this, but tonight I want to deal with the thought of resolutions. The reason why I want to deal with resolutions is there's usually two or three things that we always try to get and we always resolve, and we want to be the end product of our resolutions. What do you think they are? What do we normally want when we resolve to do something on New Year's? Huh? Who said lose weight? That's true. And you do that because to get more healthy, right? Longevity of life. We all know, we don't like to admit it, but we all know that carrying extra weight, I know the weight I carry, it's hard on me. I can tell it, it's hard on my back, hard on my knees. I just love to eat. I've got a resolve between the two of those. So we seek longevity of life. What else do we try to seek? Okay, getting closer to God. We also try to seek prosperity a lot of times. People think I'm going to go and get a better job, going to do this, going to do that. Then also, sometimes we seek and say, I'm going to get along, going to settle these problems, get along, find peace, not have so much trouble with somebody and make up and deal with issues, whatever it may be, family, friends, neighbor, whatever it may be. Well, I got thinking about making resolutions, and I got thinking about, why not look and see what the wisest man that was ever around said about resolutions? He had some resolutions here in chapter 3. Matter of fact, I found about 10 of them I want to share with you as we read through. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with them, but I'm just going to give them to you. Now, if you want to have those things, look in verse number 1. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Look in verse 2. For what? Length of days. You want to be healthy? You want to live longer? Maybe you ought to listen to him. Somebody said, well, I know I was talking to a doctor. Who's the one who took care of your mom? Jenkins. Talking to Dr. Jenkins. He used to jog beside the road. He said, I thought it was to make me healthier until I got hit with a truck. And, you know, what I'm trying to tell you is that there's no guarantee what you're doing is going to add days to your life. But here he says, I'm fixing to tell you some things that will bring length to your days. You want to live longer? Listen to what I got to say. Look on. He says, for length of days and what? Long life. And what? Peace. Shall they add to thee? In other words, he said, the things that I'm fixing to say, all these things that you want to resolve, just hang on. In verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in sight of God and man. In other words, mercy there means loving kindness. In other words, I told him yesterday, I was talking and preaching the funeral of Polly. I said she had a gift of mercy. I said mercy can be defined in a positive way and negative way. Negative way is that God, the Bible says in Lamentations, we are not consumed because of God's mercy. In other words, the word mercy means that God doesn't give us what we deserve. Now you say, I thought that was grace. No, grace says he gives us what we don't deserve. But in mercy, he doesn't give us what we deserve. He has mercy on us. And the Bible says God's mercy abides forever. And so therefore, if you get under the blood of Christ, you have the mercy of God. But also his mercy means loving kindness, compassion. And I told him, I said, mercy means that you not only have compassion and loving kindness, but you put it to work. And George, you had a lot to be proud of. All the testimonies given yesterday of your mom, that had to make you proud to know that she touched so many people's lives. And you see, she not only had compassion, Because every time somebody was going through something, she would want to get involved some way behind the scene where nobody knew, but she would do something about it. I was talking to another preacher's wife, and she said their piano player had died out Fallbush, and said she was sick and hardly able to walk, and she was fixing to go buy groceries to take out to the house. And she told her, she said, you're in no shape to take groceries. So she gave her the money and told her exactly where to go get groceries and what they would cost. And she said she would not be. And she said, I knew if I didn't do it, she'd do it. In other words, she put it to use. It's easy to say, well, I feel sorry for you. But if you don't ever do anything about it, that's not much mercy. And so the Bible says, if you want long life, it says you'll be in favor with God and man both. If you be able to have mercy and truth. We know what truth is. Truth is the word of God. The Bible says that word is truth. The truth should set you free. Amen. We have the truth. So if you want to have long life, young people, and let me tell you something. You won't listen to me right now, but let me give you a little secret. Some of you that are teenagers, you think, man, long life. Some of you are craving to be 13, craving to be 16, craving to be 18, craving to be 21. One of these days you're going to get to a place and you'll say, whoa, I wish it'd slow up. It just keeps going faster and faster and faster. And can I tell you something? And people used to tell me this, and I'd kind of laugh. The closer you get to the other side, and the more you get behind you, the faster it goes. Here in just a couple months, I'll be 60. I used to think 60 was old people. As a matter of fact, the other day, Chris and I were somewhere, and we were somewhere, and we was watching. There's 10 or 12 people lined up down through there. I said, watch them old people, what they're doing. She said, honey, they're our age. And sure enough, they were. Yeah, that made me feel really good. But my point is this. Now listen to me. If you guys want long life, you got to find mercy and truth. Learn to have compassion upon people. You'll have favor with God. You say, well, some people will laugh at me. Ignore those type of people. They're not going to do you any good anyway. You know, my grandfather came to my dad when I was 14. I was running with the wrong group of people. Got involved, and all my friends, they were outlaws. They was into something all the time. And my grandfather told my dad, said, you need to get him out here in Clay County at that time. He's going to end up in prison and die. And I thought, yeah. But you know what? He got me out there. And every one of my friends is either in prison or dead. Every one of them is in prison or dead. He knew a little bit more than I thought he did. Young people, seek mercy, seek truth. You'll find favor with God and man. Look on in verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. The word trust there means not to be able to rely without fearing about what may come out of it. Look in verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge. Acknowledge means to declare him to be true. In other words, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So what you need to do is don't trust. Learn to trust in the Lord. In other words, rely upon him and don't worry about what's going to happen. Just trust in him. If you do that, guess what it'll do? It'll bring you peace, a peace that passes all understanding. It'll add to you years. Now, look on in verse number 7. The Bible says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Hear that, young people? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In other words, you need to understand. Sometimes when we get to a certain point, and even young married and even young adults, sometimes we think we have all the answers. You have a lot to learn. I love to sit down and talk to Brother Junior here. Brother Junior sits down. He studies nature. He watches the squirrels. He watches quail. He watches dogs. He watches, and he learns things. He's raised fruit and vegetables. I go over to his house. I learn. things. When he talks about how to plant something, I listen to him. You know why? Because I've seen the fruits of his labor. He's had an orange tree and tangerine tree and all those things at his house that bear fruit. How many of you raise orange trees and tangerine trees here in Kentucky? And what I'm trying to get across to you is this. You need to understand you don't have all the answers. And if you get it fixed in your mind, you're going to do it your way. You're going to run into a lot of issues in life. And the Bible says here, be not wise in thine own eyes. Seek the sources of wisdom that will help you. And so Solomon here, remember Solomon, when God came to him, he said, because of your father David, ask me whatever you want to. Imagine that. You know, sometimes they make this pretense of a genie in a bottle to grant wishes. God actually come to Solomon and said, you ask me what you want and I'm going to give it to you. And you know what? Solomon went and he said, I want an understanding heart. I want wisdom. And God said, because you asked for an understanding heart, all the other prosperity and riches, I'm going to give it to you. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll find out how much that Solomon had. Man, he had it all. Maidservants, men servants, even wives. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, stables, lands, vineyards, silver, gold. Look on. Verse number 9 and 10. I talked about this morning. You won't have peace. You won't have prosperity. You say, I want to get a better job. Listen to what he says. Honor the Lord with thy what? You know what substance means? It means your possessions there. It means the things that you have. Notice this. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits, that's the tithes, with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy what? Barns be filled with what? And thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. In other words, he said, listen, if you'll learn to honor me with your wealth, honor me. Give me the first fruits of it. Recognize me in it. He said, you'll have plenty. And can I say this? Sometimes you say, well, preacher, I don't have this that somebody else has over there. Can I let you in on a little secret about us Americans? And some of you fix and find this when you go on this mission trip. We're pretty fortunate people. Some of the poorest people here in this church right now would be considered rich in some other places. I never forget when I'd walk down the streets of Panama, they'd say, gringo. Gringos always have money. Gringos are rich. So you American? I said, yeah. He said, you rich. And I thought, yeah, buddy, more than you know. I'd go into a store and they say, gringo, come here. Buy this. You from America? You rich. And you know, it didn't take me long before I saw some little children come and gather around and have the first drink of cold water they ever tasted in their life. And you know what I thought? We are rich. I gave them a piece of candy. And the chief come to me. I gave all the little children a piece of candy one night. Chief come to me and said, don't ever do that again. I said, why? He said, they don't understand how poor they are. You give them a taste for something they don't have and they'll want to go out and seek it. They don't understand that they're poor. And he said, so I try to keep it that way. And I thought he probably had some wisdom there. He said, what they would do is, he said, I went to the missionary's house and we were sitting there eating dinner and all these Indians was gathered out there about as far as the end of the church there, they was watching us eat. And I told the missionary, I said, "They give them my food. I can't eat with them people watching. Little kids were standing there. He said, I can't. I said, why? He said, the chief said, if we start, he said, see those? There are about 10 or 20 of them out there. He said, if you fed them today, there'd be 50 of them out there tomorrow. There'd be 100 out there the next day. There'd be 200 the next day. And the chief says, if we feed them, they'll quit working. They won't go out to the coffee plantations and work. if you start giving them food. Because then they'll just eat the food and they won't worry about working. I thought that's wisdom. But can I tell you this? You said, preacher, I want to have a prosperous year. Then honor God with your wealth. And the Bible says here, give of your first fruits. He'll fill your barns up. Now, notice what else? He said, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you know, there's a lot of people don't believe that three Hebrew children went into the furnace of fire and come out without smelling like singed hair or nothing. I don't understand how they did it, but I just believe it because God said it. Look on. Verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of corrections, or of his corrections. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Let me tell you something else. I'm going to direct this to some of you young people too. Now listen to me very carefully. If you got parents who cares about who you run with, what you do, where you go, you ought to love them. You ought to thank God for them. You know, I used to have a guy, one of my friends over there, Clay County, I was telling you about. He seemed to have everything. And boy, popularity, riches, and Ricky White, I'll name him Mom and Doris and some of them know, Darlene, Diane, they remember him. I don't know whether Deborah remembers him or not, but Ricky just seemed to have everything. I mean, man, girls went crazy over him. He had money, he had freedom, he had all these things. And I thought, man, and his parents, he did what he wanted to. The parents never told him what to do. I thought, boy, that would have to be life. But you know what? After he spent two different periods in prison, somebody ended up shooting him, and they found him 11 years later buried up in a mountain somewhere. I'm confident he's in hell tonight. So, you know, maybe he didn't have as much as I thought he did at that time. I'm glad now that I had parents that cared about me. Parents that corrected me when I was wrong. Did I love the chastening? I didn't. When I got a whipping, I didn't like it. And sometimes I got a whipping, the old type. But you know, I figured out later on it's because my parents loved me. And I learned not to despise. And sometimes when God allows me to go through things, it's because he loves me. Sometimes I get a little too proud for myself, and he has to humble me. He has to bring me down. Look on. Not only that, but notice if you would in verse number 13. It says, happy. You want to say, happy new year. I want to have a happy new year. Well, notice, happy is a man that findeth what? Wisdom, a man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and gain thereof of fine gold. He said, listen, if you'll find wisdom and understanding, it'll be better for you than getting rich. Look on. Verse 6, she is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. That's talking about wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. In other words, he said, listen, you have wisdom, it'll bring you prosperity, it'll bring you long life. What is wisdom? Wisdom is being able to weigh out things in according to the word of God and see what has greatest importance in light of eternity. See how valuable it is in God's eyes and weigh it out and find God's ways. Look in verse number 17. It says, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are what? You say, boy, I just want to have some peace this year. Find wisdom. Find understanding. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thou shalt sleep. Thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. In other words, it says, listen, you want some peace? The Bible says there's a peace that passes all understanding. It comes with gaining wisdom, understanding. Not doing it your own way, not doing it the way that you wanted to, but seek wisdom, seek understanding. Look next. Verse 27 says, withhold not a good from them whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give, and when thou hast it by thee. Listen, I told you this morning, we've got several older people in the church, elderly people. Some of them are sick. Some of them are being sickly. They're not going to be around forever. I was thinking about, Tim was talking about Polly, how much he missed her already, sitting there in front of him. What it's telling you to do is this, it's telling you to do this. Give your roses while you have an opportunity. If you got something to do for somebody that would be good for them, go ahead and get it done. I was thinking, even with her. I visited her one time, and Chris and I went up there, and her and Cotton was sitting there, and he was laying over here on one bed, and she was just having the best time in the world. And the next time I went, she could hardly even talk. She changed that much. And so many times we have them go. And somebody said, boy, I wish I'd done something nice for that person. They were awful nice to me. Make it a resolution. Do something. Some of you young people, you have a neighbor, an elderly neighbor, go carry their wood in for them. Mow their yard. I used to, before my neighbor died, I was busy and didn't have time, but I'd go over there and mow and trim their yard, do whatever they needed to do. They weren't able to do it themselves, and they so appreciated it. And you know, Solomon says, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. In other words, when you have the opportunity to get it done, do it then. Don't say, well, I'll go do it tomorrow, because you know what? When we learn to procrastinate things, we don't get them done. Look on in verse 29. It says, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. In other words, it says, learn to find the peaceful path. Don't always walk around with a chip on your shoulder waiting for somebody to knock it off. Sometimes even when they're harsh, sometimes even when they're wrong, sometimes even when some little something happened, let it go. Let it go. Don't set and get all worked out shape over some little something that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Make it your resolution to find a peaceful path, not battles. I hate to argue. I hate to fuss. And I tell you what, there's nothing I hate any worse when I see it in the church. And I got to commend you all. Rarely do I see it. Sometimes a little petty something, but rarely do I see it. And I'm thankful for that. I'll never forget one time Chris and I went, the church that was asking us to pastor before we took Jordan. It was a week before we come down there, Brother Porter, first time. She went, she sat right there, and one lady sat there, and they hated each other. They talked about each other out loud to her so the other one could hear it. And I thought, I'm supposed to preach in this atmosphere? Then they had, everybody else in the whole church sat on the last five rows. The pastor before that had taped the last five rows off on both sides, and they voted them out. I didn't know that, and I preached, and end up having to go back there and preach. But it's sad. Look on, if you would, verse 32, or 31. It says, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. He goes on and says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scourgeth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. In other words, he says this. He says, find the secrets of the Lord, the ways. He says, go ahead and he says, have a habitation of the just. Find grace to deal with your matters. And the Bible says God gives grace to the humble, the lowly. And so tonight, I wanted to just share, and I know this has been very simple, quick. But what I want to do is I want to say, listen, if you want resolutions, why don't you listen to the wisest man that ever lived, walked upon this earth? You say, well, he made mistakes. Yes, he did. He had to pay for them. He didn't listen to his own instructions. But listen, the best that you could ask for in a resolution for a coming year, longevity, prosperity, peace, all those things are offered right there in the book. And he promises that you'll have those things if you'll find wisdom and apply it to your heart. And so this year, I hope that each of us has. I know some of you had some battles this year. Some of the ones that's not here has battled quite a bit this year. Some years we have that we just don't even like to look back on those years because they were some of the toughest years of our life. Then sometimes we look back and God's been awful good to us in a lot of ways. I know Chris and I, this year, seemed like it's been the year that we went and got different parts and mended and fixed and repaired. But maybe that has to do something with getting close to 60, I don't know. But anyway, we've had to go. And so it's just been one of those years, but still it's been a pretty good year. Can't complain about a lot of things. But I hope and pray that each of you have just a blessed year. And we want you to know we love you. And at this time, Brother Porter, if you get a song, maybe God's laid something upon your heart, you need to come. And give you an opportunity to come to the altar if you need to. 339.